Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's Dr. Sophie to our weekly podcast. I appreciate all the support, all the listening, all the questions, emails, voicemails, calls, all of it. It's really great because it really stimulates a lot of thinking and a lot of great stuff to talk about. Today, we're going to be talking about something that we all have dealt with, whether we want to admit it or not, and probably will for the rest of our lives. We are talking about untangling anger. On today's show, we're going to talk about what is anger? Do we all have it? What does it look like? How do we manage it? What are the ways to manage it? Are there better ways to manage it than others? Is it ever a place where we can't even manage our anger? And then what do you do? And all the kinds of things that we want to talk about with anger and the belief systems and how do we get to the place where we get as adults or children that are having anger coming out in ways that are not really the best. Do we learn it? Is it genetics? Who knows? But we're going to talk about it all today, and you're going to get to leave with the 4 points that I think you need to think about and really learn from. I always want you to know you can call me at 1-855-SOPHIE-NOW or 1-855-767-4966. Each caller will receive a free signed copy of my book, Side by Side, The Revolutionary Mother-Daughter Program for Conflict-Free Communication. Today, my guest expert to talk about untangling anger is Dr. Andrea Brent. Stay tuned. She'll be right back with us. So joining us today is Andrea Brandt, PhD, or Dr. Andrea Brandt. She is a marriage and family therapist. She lives here in Santa Monica, California. She brings to us today over 35 years of clinical experience in the role of a individual family therapist, couples counseling, group therapy, and really overall anger management classes. She has two really interesting books. One is 8 Keys to Eliminating Passive Aggressiveness, and the other one, which is the newer one, is Mindful Anger, A Pathway to Emotional Freedom. Both really great books and a really informed and experienced clinician. Dr. Brent, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
So thank you for giving me your time and your brain.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. All right, so, you know, we're talking about untangling anger, which, you know, all of us have, probably a lot of it. Why? First of all, why do you think people don't really, like, when you're sitting with them, you know they're ready to blow up or they're in your office for a reason, but they're not angry, quote unquote. Why do you think
people
why do they do that? Because that really makes me mad.
Because anger gets such a bad rap, not only in our families, but in society. There's, you know, a continuum. There's at the very bottom, there's irritation, annoyance, and frustration. Then there's anger in the middle, and then there's hostility, which isn't even a feeling, it's an attitude. And then we have rage and aggression. But most people in society just lump them all in the same receptacle and call it anger.
And they're not.
And they're not. And people get terrified of anger, and nobody's given us a recipe on how to get angry in a productive, constructive way. So they deny or suppress their anger and think they're doing a good thing.
So tell me then, if somebody's rageful, they're not necessarily angry, or they're synonymous?
You know, rage is just years and years of unexpressed anger that's living in your body. And your body can only take so much for so long before you blow.
Okay, and so that's just a big clump of anger then?
Big clump of anger coming at someone.
And so anger comes in many forms then, but it's still a single entity as an emotion, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and it's okay to have it then?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know how we can successfully navigate life without knowing how to get angry in a productive, effective way.
So,
I mean, life throws up too many obstacles in our way.
I mean,
if
you're happy all the time, then you're probably going to be manic until you drop. Otherwise, you're human and you get angry and you have to acknowledge it, right?
Yes, exactly.
So tell me then, does everybody, because we all have anger, do we all need anger management then?
No, because I think anger management is a misnomer to begin with. I think that what happens is that there is an impulse, a sensation that precedes the anger and that rises up through our body. And you want to catch it. So the body feels a sensation, and you want to catch it before it hits your reptilian brain, which then says something destructive and triggers and stimulates behavior that you're not going to be very happy with. So rather than anger management, what needs to be managed is the impulse.
Okay. And so how do we teach people to recognize that, that impulse,
well,
or that red flag?
Yeah, that's where mindfulness comes in.
What does that mean? You know, if you're angry, how are you going to be mindful and focused to be able to identify it?
Well, if you're mindful first, you have to really, it's like people who have a practice of meditation, right?
Yes.
They meditate nightly, or day, during the day, something. You also need to learn how to be mindful. And mindfulness is a state of mind which we intentionally focus on our internal selves in the present. So we observe our thoughts and our feelings, and we do not judge them. And that's really the key there, that we do not judge them.
So you just feel them then?
Yeah, you just feel them and you sit with it, so that if you're feeling angry, you can say to yourself, well, gee, what am I angry at? Who am I angry at? How angry am I? What do I need to do with this anger? Do I need to do anything with it? If I need to say something to someone, what do I need to say so they'll hear me? So if you are allowing yourself to be mindful before you spew, it really works well. Now, I'm here to tell you that I know I'm asking something that's antithetical to how we've all been brought up.
Yeah, we all want to blow up.
We all want to blow up because we can't tolerate the feelings of anger. So we want to release the valve. But besides that, people distract themselves 24/7 sometimes from feeling at all. So I'm asking someone something very antithetical, because we grow up in a society based on the pleasure principle that says, if it feels bad, get rid of it. And I'm asking people to sit with it and training them to do this. And it's very hard for people to do this.
Yeah, I mean,
but their lives are so much more productive.
Well, that's if you survive it and they don't reach over and choke you.
That's true, too.
But
so far, so good.
That means you must be good at what you do. I want to read you an email that we're getting in. Joe from Jacksonville is asking, I am one of many people who experience road rage. Usually I find that I get most angry when someone completely disregards me and other drivers. If the other person I'm angry at doesn't care, it only adds to my anger and frustration. How can I manage my anger when it feels a bit one-sided and I can't get any closure? Do you know, that's so important, because how many times do we say to our children when they're having a rough time at school, just ignore them?
It's hard to.
Yes. So if somebody's ignoring you when you're angry, why does it enrage you more? Why? I don't get that.
One of the things you're saying, why does it enrage them more if the other person is not acknowledging them? Right,
they're not giving them the finger back.
Because they want a fight. And when I deal with people that have road rage, I teach them a really clever technique called the pie chart. In other words, visualize a pie chart, slice it into four or five slices, and then come up with four or five reasons why that man or woman just cut you off on the freeway. He's late getting to the hospital because his wife has just been taken to the emergency room, or his daughter, or he has to get to work because he has a presentation that he has to make. Or a woman is just learning how to drive and doesn't have great spatial relations between her car and yours. The point of that exercise is, if you do it, none of those reasons have to do with you.
Right.
So you don't have to take somebody cutting you off on the freeway personally. It's not about you. It's about them.
Okay, but still you're angry because they and their mess or whatever they're dealing with created a disruption in your day.
Exactly, but why do you need to get angry?
Well,
if it has nothing to do with you. It takes us to our belief system. You know, between Dr. Ellis, Albert Ellis, brilliant psychologist, long gone, came up with that equation, A plus B equals C. So you have the event, you have, which is the activity, which is the A. The B is the belief system, and C is the consequence. So if somebody thinks, if you listen to what you say between the, you know, someone cutting you off on the freeway, if you listen to what you say, I was married one time before, and this man actually thought that every crazy driver in this city left their house at the same time he did.
I mean, he really thought that?
He thought that.
Why'd
you marry
him?
I mean, I think he was making a joke, but he actually would say that. So some part of him thought that.
Yeah, of course.
There's a whole layer of thoughts and beliefs which determine how we react.
Right. It's not just that moment. That reaction is an indication of what's previously gone on and made that person.
Exactly. So you've got a whole layer of beliefs and faulty expectations and faulty thinking that you learned in your childhood. Maybe it's the worst case scenario variety, or, you know, people all just want to get me.
Yeah, you're a victim.
Know?
Maybe it's the victim mentality.
Yeah, they're the victim. And so if you have that kind of belief, that's where your mind is going to go the moment someone cuts you off on the freeway.
Right.
When, in fact, it might not have anything to do with you at all.
Well, most times it doesn't.
Right.
But we don't know that. We don't know that in the moment.
Tell that to the person who wants to make it all about them.
Totally. So, really, it's not about us. We should really slow down, maybe get a pie chart out, see the four or five pieces that don't have anything to do with us, and really realize also where the foundation is that we're pulling from to have that reaction. It might really have nothing to do with us.
Exactly. Oops. And save yourself a lot of energy.
I'm going to write a book about it. Oh, no, you already did. I don't have
to. Yeah, right.
All right, so tell us, what are some ways to manage our anger? Like, is meditation the only thing, or mindfulness? Are there ways to be able to, you know, look at certain things? But I want you to hear a voicemail first before we talk about that. So hold on one sec.
Hi, Dr. Sophie. I have a little bit of a temper problem, and I'm trying to manage it. But I'm having a tough time figuring out exactly what the difference is between managing my anger and suppressing it, because I don't want to suppress it and then really lose my temper at a later time. So just wondering what the difference between the two is. Thank you.
You know, that's interesting, because how many people probably come to people like you and I, and because they've learned to understand it a little bit better, they suppress it, but they're not really managing it, because it's going to blow eventually, right?
Exactly. You can just suppress for so long before your body can't take it anymore.
So what are we telling this guy?
So what we're telling him is to, and I'll explain this a little. I ask people to percolate with their anger, meaning if this guy gets angry in the middle of the day, and he doesn't have any time to deal with it other than to blow, and we've already said blowing at somebody is not the best thing to do, I suggest that people percolate with it, which means allow it to be in your body, slow down, be mindful of it, be in the present moment. So if you're in the present moment, you're listening to somebody else, there's a meeting going on or something happening at home, and just percolate with it. In other words, keep the angry feelings alive while you're taking care of business. And then later in the day, you can sit down and write about it. And I mean write about it, not on a computer. I'm talking about key channels of release are the hand, you know, the feet, the voice, the head. So write a letter or journal just thoughts and feelings, or write a letter to someone you're not going to send it to, and get a lot of energy out, but using paper and pencil.
Okay.
I also work with breathing. Breathing is an incredible tool that we have, and we have it with us at all times, by the way, just like mindfulness.
Yeah, your brain and lungs go with you.
Yes, exactly. So they need to use their breathing, and then a lot of times to get centered, I suggest people put one hand on their heart and one hand on their belly and ground themselves, you know, put their feet into the carpet and really feel that they're grounded.
Because then it's manageable at that point.
What I'm saying is it's manageable, because all these people that are anger have, you know, when I teach therapists, there's also, you know, they should talk to someone, because there is a core erroneous belief they have about themselves that's making them angry.
So,
and that could mean I'm not special, I don't deserve, I'm unlovable. So that's the belief. And then maybe they grew up in a house where there were no boundaries.
Yeah.
So they need to learn boundaries in order to take care of themselves.
Right. And by boundaries, you mean like boundaries with emotions, too. So just because you're angry.
Emotions, self-image, you know.
Right.
Just, they don't want people around them who are disrespectful.
Right. But they also, what if they grew up in a home like boundaryless with anger, and like whenever you were angry, you just let it rip? You got to grow from that and learn how to contain your anger in the rest of the world, because
exactly.
We're all not used to that.
Containment is very important.
Tell me more about the breathing thing.
The breathing, there are different ways of breathing. One of my favorite ways is to take in three breaths, but then hold it to the count of three and then exhale it out, all of it out. Because when you hold your breath and then exhale, you bring yourself down more.
And do you know why, from a biochemical standpoint?
I think that what happens is, you know, when we're angry, our blood vessels constrict and everything like that. And so this just allows the body to relax.
Yeah. I wonder if it has anything to do with, like, CO2 or retention and that kind of thing.
Yeah, tension, just letting the tension go.
Right. And I as a doctor, I can tell you that holding your breath in a little bit will raise your CO2 levels, which calm you down a little bit, too.
Yes.
So that's great.
Yes.
All right, so tell me another thing I want to ask you. How do you know if you're benefiting from, like, mindfulness? Like, it's so single and you. How do you know if it's benefiting?
Because you're reacting different than you would normally react if you were just going through life. Most people go through life in a trance. I have a statistic. People spend 47% of their waking life not paying attention to what
wow.
they are doing.
And that doesn't mean
that's a pretty big percentage.
That's huge. And that doesn't necessarily mean they have some diagnosable attention issue like ADD.
No,
it just
they
means
they may not be ADHD or anything like that. They're just not paying attention. So you know that mindfulness works when you're aware of what you're doing and you're in the moment and you're accomplishing things and
you just see overall improvement. That's how you know it's working.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
I want to read you another email. Kelly from San Clemente is asking, I have a tough time trying to meditate anyway, and when I'm angry, I find it even more difficult. What am I supposed to do if my anger is stronger than my ability to be mindful? I assume she is asking that in the moment, not probably overall. But what do you tell somebody?
Right. My sense of that is that people like that really need to sit down and do some writing or something physical that allows them to get release some of the anger so they can be in a place or get some meditations and just bring themselves down to a centered place. There are a lot of, if they buy my book, Mindful Anger, I've got so many meditations in there that will really help them be mindful and bring that anger down to a workable level.
Got it. I think that's really helpful. Tell me something. Can someone, like, is there genetics to anger? Can you be predisposed to it? Like, you know, you had an angry lineage of, you see, your father, your grandfather. I mean, is it ever passed down that way?
Well, I think if you grow up, I mean, we learn all about, we learn about beliefs and learn about how the world works for our families. Well, we do that with anger as well. So if you grow up in a family where the way things were dealt with was through getting angry or being passive aggressive, then you learn how to do that.
If you have a certain kind of upbringing, you
right.
know, is there one that you're also predisposed to? Like if you're in a family that kind of deals with their, I mean, every family deals with their anger, whether they're dealing with it or not, right?
Yeah, they could be passive aggressive, right?
Right. So if you grow up in a family, is there a certain type of family that manages their anger in a certain way that will set you up for more problems, do you think?
Oh, sure. I think that it happens early on, you know, in the attachment bond, there can be a rupture.
And that creates the problem.
And that can create the problem right there because the child is yelling and screaming for attention and mom was there before, but now mom's not there and mom's not paying attention. So Ed Tronick calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, the good is if mom is there and cooing and gooing with the child. The bad is if she goes away for a little bit but comes back in a decent amount of time and goes back to cooing and gooing. The ugly is when there's no room for reparation because the parents don't know how to deal with the child and his screams and angry. They have trouble dealing with their own anger.
So then if mom comes back in a timely manner and the kid is still erupting, you're saying parents don't often have the tools to be able to soothe
right.
their child. So
right.
is it really better sometimes if they don't come back or are they really just
no,
have to come back? With
they them? Need to come back. And, you know, it, the child, most children will just draw it out of you, you know. You want to hold them, you want to play with them, you want to make faces at them. You know, I think most parents can, like, pick up the clues from the kid in terms of playing with them.
Absolutely, but if you have a kid who's screaming at you and you already feel guilty because you feel you abandoned the kid, the child, it makes it even tougher.
Yes, it does, but you can still pick up a kid.
Absolutely.
And soothe them.
And love them.
And love them, yes, absolutely.
All right, I want to play you a voicemail. Hang on again.
Okay. Yes, Dr. Sophie, I had a question about any time where there might be warranted anger, if it's okay, you know, because sometimes when I can't help my anger, because the person I'm angry with doesn't, you know, respect my opinion or treat me as an equal, so I find it hard to not become angry.
Well, I mean, it's okay to be angry, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. No, I never teach people to not be angry. I just teach them how to be angry in a way where it's constructive.
Right, because we all, like we started today, have anger.
We all have anger. But there are a lot of people who want to disown their anger.
I know, but they can't. It's part of them. It's like, I don't want to have my right arm, but you need it, and you have to have it, and we all have one, and you got to deal
right.
with it.
Right, absolutely.
So, Dr. Andrea Brandt, tell me a little bit about you and where we can find your great work.
You can go to mindfulanger.com, my website, and email is abrandt, Ph.D., at abrandt, B-R-A-N-D, therapy.com.
Got it. And so you have a new book out?
This is my second book. The first book was 8 Keys to Eliminating Passive-Aggressiveness.
But some of us love our passive-aggressiveness.
Yeah, I know, but the people around you don't.
Oh, okay.
I guarantee you.
Yeah. That's why my mother kept screaming, I bet.
Probably. Passive-aggressive people are sometimes very annoying.
Of course, that's the goal.
And I'm talking about the people with the passive-aggressive personality pattern. I'm not talking about, we're all passive-aggressive. Sometimes we say yes when we mean no, and then don't follow through. So I'm not talking about those episodes.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the personality pattern.
Got it. All right. So we'll be looking for you and for your book. Where can we buy these books?
On Amazon.
Got it. So 8 Keys to Eliminating Passive Aggressiveness. And the second book is Mindful Anger, A Pathway to Emotional Freedom.
Right.
We want our listeners to buy these books because every one of us need to be able to manage our anger in a healthful, mindful way so that we have outcomes in life that we really want instead of sitting there brooding because we messed up again.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for your time
and
your expertise.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Andrea Brandt. So that was Dr. Andrea Brandt with us today talking about untangling, unraveling, looking at your anger and ways to manage it and ways to deal with it. And I think there were 4 really great points that I could pull out for you to take away today. And you may have to think about these, go back and listen again. But really, these are the key points I think you need to take away from untangling your anger. Number one is understanding and accepting that anger is a single, solitary emotion and that we all have it and we all need to have an expression of it. We need to have a toolbox with which we use to express our anger, no matter how much you try to ignore it or pretend it's not there or discount it or not think it's anger in its various forms. It is anger at its root and it needs to be dealt with. The second thing that I think is very important for us to understand is that in the management of our anger, all of us need to be able to look that there is a process or a reaction that ends up with us acting out on our anger, whether that's screaming, yelling, crying, all of it. So what the point is to really understand is what is the process of that reaction where we end with the screaming or the yelling? What's the initial step or what's the second or third step? And looking at that, we have sensations in our body, physical ones, that trigger from our brain. Whether it's muscle twitching or it's you feel warm or whatever it is, we need to look at those kinds of red flags within our bodies or impulses, they are called, to be mindful and aware that once we get that trigger or that red flag or that impulse, that's the time to be able to kind of look at it and put a stop to it and just feel that impulse or look at that red flag and basically sit with the feeling of anger and then deal with it a little bit later. But getting it caught that early in the process will really prevent the outrageous responses we see sometimes where people are really over the top with their anger. The third thing that I think we need to take a look at is when we are in the moment of an angry fit, whether it's road rage or upset about something, to in your mind envision what Dr. Brandt tells us today is a pie that you cut into like 4 or 5 slices. And those slices will, each one of them will represent a possibility of why you're angry or what is happening is making you angry. And if you look at a lot of those, probably 4 out of the 5 or maybe all of them, most of those reasons that you're angry oftentimes have nothing to do with you. They have to do with things that are out of your control, whether it's another human being or it's another event or something. And being able to understand that and be able to take a step back and look at that will really help your anger come down quickly. And if you catch it at the impulse and you cut it up like a pie, you're bound to end up with a really great result in anger management. And I think the fourth thing that you need to take a look at is to be able to understand the difference between managing your anger versus just suppressing it or covering it up, which is really oftentimes ignoring it. When you manage your anger, you actually have a toolbox that you open up and you pull things out and you utilize them in the moment to have a better outcome. Suppression is not paying attention to those red flags or impulses and not being aware of the fact that you're oftentimes even blowing up. And then you do blow up even more and more bigger and more often when you suppress it. So don't ignore it. Really focus on it and really pay attention. And those are the 4 things that I think you should learn about and really take away from today's podcast. Thank you again for listening, for calling in, for your voicemails today. Very helpful. You can find my podcast. They're always available for free on my website and on iTunes. My website is www.drsophie.com. My phone app is available in the iTunes store, so go check it out and grab it. Voicemail is always there for you 24-7, 1-855-767-4966. My book is also there for you if you need it, Side by Side, The Revolutionary Mother-Daughter Program for Conflict-Free Communication. And as you know, you can always follow me on Twitter and Facebook, and you'll know where I'm at. Visit iTunes to download the full version of Andy Grammer's Keep Your Head Up. And for me, the most important thing for you to do is don't forget to sweep.